I'm Chris Sims.
And I'm Todd McKay.
This is the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We're dedicated to lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. In this episode, we're going to take a deep dive into the real risk that Bombardier could be digging into the corporate welfare trough again. And in Waste Watch, we're going to tell you about some astonishingly bad conference plans that were booked by people who really should have known better.
But first, you know, sometimes politicians are unintentionally funny. It's like the Three Stooges. They're just like banging into each other and not getting anything done. And of course, the problem with that is that they're doing all of that with taxpayers' money. And here's a tragically comical situation we have going on right now. Some politicians are sending people checks to stay at home. And at the same time, other politicians are sending them checks to get back to work.
This is a big problem we have with the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, better known as CERB. The Trudeau government rolled this thing out back when the pandemic hit because businesses had to shut down suddenly, millions of people had to stay home. It pays out up to $2,000 per month for people who can't work. That's a huge amount of money. And I will remind people, it's also taxable. Right now, it's costing taxpayers about $16 billion a month.
You know, listen, when this situation first hit, governments everywhere around the world were struggling. But here's the thing. We're now more than 3 months into this, and CERB was supposed to be temporary. But the government just rubber-stamped an extension to run CERB right through the summer.
There are two big problems with that. First, CERB is hugely expensive, as you've explained. And Canada just got a credit rating downgrade from the Fitch Rating Agency. That's a really big deal. Here's what our federal director, Aaron Woodrick, told CBC about that downgrade. Quote, "No country will be spared fiscal challenges as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, but we cannot afford to be complacent. We cannot afford further downgrades," end quote. Aaron's point applies to CERB too. We can't afford to let temporary programs stretch on and on indefinitely. And second, as businesses are reopening now, many of them are desperate to get their employees to come back to work. But now, some people would rather stay at home because the government is sending them checks.
And listen, I think to be fair, some people can't go back to work. I know a travel agent, her boss isn't calling her back to the office here. It's going to be a while before she can work again. I know another person, she's a store clerk, but she's got some underlying health issues and she's got a new baby at home. So she can't be on the front lines. But there are other people who could be at work and they're choosing not to. I was chatting with a server at a local pub and she was saying that she's been working her tail off because other servers are staying at home cashing those government checks instead of coming in and doing their job. Basically because CERB has been extended again. We're hearing these stories over and over and over again from small businesses across Canada. If our economy is going to recover, we have to get people back to work.
I'm hearing similar stories out this way. A buddy of mine is a tradesman. He's the only one apparently in his shop coming into work right now. All the other guys aren't coming back into work and they're saying things like, check in with me in September. And this is where this is getting really weird. Because the Manitoba government just announced that it would send people checks if they go off CERB and go back to work. The Federal Conservative Party just recommended similar top-ups. So we have the Prime Minister sending checks to people to stay home. Meanwhile, the Premier of Manitoba is gonna start sending checks to get people to go back to work. Do these people even talk to each other?
Yeah, honestly, we just need politicians to get in the same room and work some of this stuff out. We can't have one sending checks for people to do one thing and the other like trying to compete with them with sending checks on the other side. And listen, I do understand the motives here for the Manitoba government and the federal conservatives. They want to get people back to work, but they're treating the side effect of one huge expensive government program with another huge expensive government program. We've got to deal with the underlying problem here. We can't just treat the symptoms. Ultimately, the Trudeau government needs to be honest about CERB. It cannot go on forever. It has to be phased out. The government may need to retool some existing programs like employment insurance to help people that wouldn't be covered to fill in some of those gaps. But a huge overarching program like CERB that pays millions of people to stay at home can't go on forever. That's the simple reality. We need to address that reality instead of having dueling checks hitting mailboxes. You know, we're going to have more on this coming forward in the next few weeks. But this is certainly an important situation when you look at the CERB program.
Coming up next, Todd's going to take a deep dive into Bombardier's latest move to sidle on up to that corporate welfare trough with our Quebec director, Renaud Brassard. Stay with us.
Time for a deep dive. This is when we get deeper into important issues. And today I've got Renaud Brassard. He's our Quebec director. And he's staying on top of a corporate welfare boondoggle that's just brewing. It's just coming up. Renaud, tell us what's going on.
Thanks, Todd. You know, risk is a really important thing to consider when you're looking to invest money somewhere. For instance, the Fitch Credit Rating Agency gave the African country of Mozambique a triple C credit rating, and there's very, very good reasons for that. Mozambique defaulted on its loans from 2017 to 2019, and it's only starting to catch up with payments again. There are countries that have been dealing with a literal plague of locusts that are safer places to invest right now than Mozambique. So basically what Fitch is saying, giving investors a heads up, saying Mozambique is a, and I quote, substantial credit risk. That, once again, I'm quoting, where default is a very real risk.
Okay. So Mozambique, yeah, is probably not where you want to put your RRSPs right now. It's defaulted on loans. It's even doing worse than other African countries that are dealing with locust plagues. So pretty rough in Mozambique. Hopefully the folks there can get that turned around. But we're the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I think you're going to have to explain why we're talking about Mozambique having a triple C credit rating.
Well, because there's a well-known Canadian aerospace company that's asking for our money, and that has the exact same credit rating as Mozambique. You might have guessed it. It's a little shop called Bombardier.
Bombardier has the same credit rating as Mozambique. That's baffling, because Bombardier has squeezed out more than $4 billion in corporate welfare from Canadian taxpayers over the years. And you're telling me that they're just as broke as Mozambique.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You're absolutely right. Despite taking taxpayers for a ride over the years, Bombardier is struggling financially. It just issued a release a couple of days ago saying the aerospace industry is down by 30%. And it's understandable. There's COVID, people are not traveling as much. And I'm assuming there's less people buying jets when people are not traveling as much. So it had to lay off a couple hundred employees. And despite all of that, Bombardier CEO Éric Martel is relatively optimistic. And he says, and I quote, "Right now, I don't need to say to our government, I absolutely need your help. And my preference would be for private solutions rather than government solutions."
Well, my preference would be for private solutions instead of government solutions as well. Let's not have any more taxpayers' money going to Bombardier. Sounds like we're done here, Renaud. Maybe we better shut the old podcast down early, take the rest of the day off.
Well, not exactly, because you need to hear the rest of that quote. So once again, Bombardier CEO Éric Martel, he's saying, and I quote, "We always keep the federal government and that of Quebec aware of what's happening, so they're not taken by surprise if we ever need them."
If we ever need them. Has Bombardier ever gotten anywhere without dipping into taxpayers' pockets? Sounds like we better hold on to our wallets.
Well, you know, we've seen this movie before. Just a couple of years ago, Bombardier was struggling and people were talking about a bailout, but the company downplayed it. Here's what Bombardier Vice President Rob DeWar had to say at the time. He said, "The federal funding would be just an extra endorsement for the program. That's really just an extra bonus that would be helpful, but it's very clearly not required." And there it was, in black and white, Bombardier didn't need taxpayers' money. Well, lo and behold, only a couple months later, Ottawa sent a big fat check for $372 million worth of taxpayers' money to Bombardier in interest-free loan.
That timeline, that progression is just baffling. Bombardier says, we don't need the money. Ottawa says, hey, take the money anyway. And what happens next? Man, it grinds your gears. So according to the Montreal Gazette, Bombardier's six highest paid executives got raises of nearly 50% and made a total of $33 million after getting that charity from taxpayers. Former CEO Alain Belmaire got $2.4 million as a bonus. And after that, he ended up leaving the company and got a severance package of $17 million just last February, thanks to a vote from the Bombardier board. So to recap, Bombardier says it doesn't need money. Ottawa fires the money hose all over it with interest-free loans from taxpayers. Then Bombardier gives its executives huge multi-million dollar bonuses. What is going on at this company?
I don't know, but also what's going on in Ottawa and in Quebec, because we're set to do it again. Because once again, Bombardier says it doesn't need help, but it's talking to politicians just in case. And that sounds a lot like what happened in 2016. So taxpayers should definitely feel worried. When asked, actually, because a lot of journalists asked those questions to finance ministers and to premiers and prime ministers, here's what the Quebec finance minister, Éric Girard, had to say. He said, Bombardier is a very good company and we want to help them. And when asked, here's what Prime Minister Trudeau had to say. Obviously, the aerospace industry and airlines are particularly affected with the ceasing of global travel and with the fact that the demand for purchasing business jets has increased dramatically. We will work with industries and individual companies to try and ensure they have access to all the support that we've put forward.
That's absolutely baffling. You know, politicians always like to give, you know, vague answers, but this one shouldn't be hard. It should just be a hard no. If Bombardier asks for a cup of coffee, they're going to have to go make it themselves. Why are they even entertaining these questions? It sounds like they're opening up their checkbooks.
It sure sounds like it. And it is, it's a wonder why they're even entertaining it. You know, giving Bombardier money is a very, very risky idea. Contrary to what Girard has to say, it's not exactly a very good company right now. It's got $9 billion U.S. in debt. It's already sold off its passenger jet business. It's sold off its train business. Actually, the only thing they're making now is private jets. And now it's chatting with politicians to make sure they're up to speed if Bombardier just happens to need to get its hands on your money.
If it just happens to need taxpayers' money. Bombardier has always needed taxpayers' money, billions of dollars over the year. But let's get this straight. Politicians are actually thinking about taking money from struggling taxpayers right now, when taxpayers are struggling more than they've struggled for a long time. And politicians want to take that money and give it to a high-risk company that makes private jets for uber-rich people.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly what you're wondering right now, whether or not they should do it. Seems like the answer should be obvious. Bombardier has already scored Canadian taxpayers to the tune of $4 billion in corporate welfare throughout its history. It's been massively expensive for us taxpayers already. And despite being in a tough financial situation for years, it's still awarding eight-figure golden parachutes to executives, and no later than just last February. That's just a couple of months ago. So we can't let this happen again. And that's why we at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, well, just like Bombardier, we're making sure that we're ready for that fight if it ever happens. Because if Bombardier is telling Ottawa that it might maybe someday need taxpayers' money, we need to be able to tell Ottawa to say a hard no and say it won't give more taxpayers' money to Bombardier. So you can find our petition asking Ottawa for no special bailouts for Bombardier. You can find it on taxpayer.com. And I encourage you, Todd, but also every single one of our listeners and every single one of our supporters to go on taxpayer.com right now and add their names to our petition to make sure that Bombardier doesn't get to soak taxpayers once more.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Sorry for interrupting the podcast, but I wanted to take a few seconds of your time to tell you more about the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We are 235,000 Canadians from coast to coast that are fed up. We are fed up with politicians taking too much out of our paychecks, often to waste it on a bunch of pet projects, corporate welfare, and pork barreling to buy votes. We organize campaigns to push back on these politicians. These campaigns often include petition drives, billboards, media stunts, and more. But most importantly, they ask our supporters to pitch in and take action. Alone, we're a voice in the wilderness. Together, we're an army to be reckoned with. You can join the fight and sign up at no cost at taxpayer.com. That website again is taxpayer.com. Okay, now back to the podcast.
It's time for Waste Watch. This is when we make fun of dumb things that governments are spending your money on. Todd, let's get into today's debacle.
So there are certain things that happen where everybody notices it. We all remember it. We all get the memo. It's that big. And a few months ago, something like that happened. There's a pandemic. We shut everything down. I think we all got that one. We all saw that one. Nobody missed it.
Yes, we're slowly emerging from that shutdown right now. Provinces and businesses are reopening under really strict government orders. Yep.
Well, perhaps the only people in the whole country who missed this one, they're at the Public Health Agency of Canada. The people there, they paid $300,000 in taxpayers' money to book a conference on immunization in Ottawa after Chief Public Health Officer Dr. Theresa Tam put the kibosh on everything across Canada.
Yeah, this is something that the team at Blacklock's Reporter, which is an investigative journalism website in Ottawa, they just dug this up. So they report that bureaucrats at the Public Health Agency of Canada handed over a total of $319,167 to host a bunch of debt convention, both at the big shiny downtown convention center across the street from Parliament Hill in Ottawa and at a nearby ski motel.
Again, this is after Canada shut down pretty much everything. So keep an eye on the timeline here. World Health Organization declares a pandemic on March 11th. I remember that. Even I remember that. I was watching the Oilers game. After the second period, they come on and say, no more NHL for the rest of the year. But then the next day, on March 12th, the Public Health Agency paid more than $300,000 to the Ottawa Convention Center for this conference. Their boss was just on TV telling everybody to shut everything down.
This is so tough to wrap your head around. It would be bad enough if Public Health made this declaration on the 11th, everybody shut it down, and a bunch of bureaucrats in a department like Natural Resources accidentally still booked their little conference on northern beekeeping or something on the 12th. But this one, Public Health?
If anyone in the whole world could have known to maybe tap the brakes on big travel plans, it was Public Health. So I'm trying to give the bureaucrats the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm trying to think of like how can this happen? But, you know, maybe things were rolling along. Maybe papers were already signed, the emails had already crossed, and there was nothing they could do about this. The folks over at Blacklock's, they asked the government about that. And here's what the spokesperson said, quote, a deposit was to be paid by March 31st.
Hold up. We got to look at that timeline again. Public Health shuts down hockey and everything else in Canada March 11th. Then Public Health goes and plunks down $300,000 for a non-refundable deposit on a huge conference. But that deposit wasn't even due for another 2 weeks until March 31st?
That's exactly right. And that's what's so crazy about this. Now, listen, maybe this is unfair. Maybe this is a stereotype that just, you know, is unfair. But a lot of people think that bureaucrats aren't the speediest people in the world. Like, you never hear somebody say, man, you're speeding like a bureaucrat. Like, that's not a saying. Nobody says that. You know, I've got kids. We watch the movie Zootopia. It's all about these little animals and they're doing all stuff. And the bureaucrats are the sloths. And it's hilarious because of that stereotype. Bureaucrats, they're not known for speed. They're not the quickest folks. But this time, of all times, the bureaucrats decide to rush ahead and blow $300,000 2 weeks before it's even due. Like, what was the rush? Even a little bit of procrastination could have saved us a truckload of money. Bureaucrats, they sit on paperwork all the time. And this time, they fire ahead? It's unbelievable.
It's so true. Hey, everybody, let's pull an all-nighter. We got to get this money out the door. Why now? How did bureaucrats at public health miss this memo? Their boss was on live television and everywhere on the interwebs telling everyone, shut it down. Hey, you, shut it down. Hockey, bakeries, doesn't matter. Shut it down. But no, they plowed ahead and slapped down $300,000 for a convention that couldn't happen. Officials tell Blacklocks that they can't even get a refund. They say they're going to try to rebook their biannual conference on immunization, oh the irony, in Ottawa someday in the future. So go check out Blacklocks Reporter for more on this, including the names and quotes from the department that made this move in the first place. And you know, this is why we have to highlight this nonsense here at the Taxpayers Federation. This is our money. Every nickel of it is our money. And bureaucrats are almost never held accountable for spending it on dumb mistakes. In this one, booking a conference a day after your boss told the entire country to shut it down is right up there. Thanks for listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast.
And thanks to James Wood for editing the podcast. And to all of you, please subscribe, like, share, review our show. Let us know what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. And please subscribe. Let's get to know each other. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. If you've got another minute, I'd like to ask you to think about the one person you know that would really enjoy listening to this podcast. Do us a favor and do them a favor and send them a quick note to let them know about it. At the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we believe there is power in numbers. That's why we've worked so hard to build an army of taxpayers who are ready to push back. And we did it because people like you shared our work with that one person that they knew would really appreciate taking part. Thanks for listening. And thanks for doing your part to make Canada a better place.